I am the architect. I created the Matrix.
Shall we play a game?
Well, let's get right to it. It's October the 17th. It's Tuesday. It's a nice day out. There's not much going on in politics today, so I'm going to talk about something that I think comes up all the time. For example, Rex Tillerson says something, Trump says something, the next thing we know, the press says, oh my gosh, look how much they disagree. The press makes comparisons between what they think a president and one of his secretaries should act together or have an attitude. They make assumptions about what they think that attitude, that presentation, that relationship should be. And when they don't see it, when they see that it doesn't match the way they think it should be, they say, oh my gosh, discord, array, chaos. I don't think so. And I'm going to come back to this in a minute, but I first want to talk about comparisons. A great leader owned a marvelous apple orchard with a perfect apple tree. You've probably heard about this great leader. Each day, the leader would go into his orchard and pick an apple from a perfect apple tree and hold it up to the other trees and say, this is a marvelous apple. It is red, juicy, plump, and it represents what we should all strive to produce. The apple trees heard the leader's praise of the perfect apple tree and worked hard to emulate the greatest apple of all. Some did. But clearly all the apple trees were motivated to get better. They were motivated because, the leader said, hey, this is a great apple. Then one day the leader planted an orchard of new trees called orange trees. The leader was great and a fearless leader, but had no great knowledge of orange trees. Trees were trees. As usual, the leader plucked an apple from the marvelous and perfect apple tree. Then, as was his practice, the leader walked through the orchards praising the merits of the wonderful apple that the perfect apple tree produced. The apple trees heard the praise and were indeed motivated to produce better apples. On the contrary, the orange trees heard this praise and tried hard to produce a similar apple. But alas, all they could produce was oranges. They became frustrated when compared to the apple because the orange trees knew in their heart they could never produce an apple. In fact, the leader had to go great lengths to even eat the oranges. Oranges had a thick skin on the outside of the oranges, unlike the apple. The oranges were blessed with a thick skin, which often helped when hearing the merits of the wonderful apple. This frustrated the orange trees even more. No matter what they did, their oranges always contained a rough, thick orange covering. It was never red or smooth and edible like the apple's red covering. The leader grew frustrated, too, and launched even more wicked and consistent diatribes against the orange tree. But the orange trees could not produce a single apple. The leader punished the orange trees, stopped giving them attention, and cut their food. And so, frustrated as they were, their production of oranges diminished. The orange trees stopped trying, and eventually all died. So sad. The leader went back to producing only apples and never knew what great things the orange trees would eventually become in another leader's garden. I'm not sure if this is accurate or not, but as I understand it, this is the original story published more than 500 years ago and is the basis for the old saying, never compare apples with oranges. I don't know who sent me that. I don't know where I got it. I found it in my archives. And it has a message for me about the current situation. I want to kind of tie it back in to Tillerson and Trump. I've worked for large corporations. I've been in situations and meetings where the vice president of the company, let's say like a secretary of state, and the president of the company are in the same meeting, and the president suggests something. And the vice president says, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard. Now, when I was younger, I thought that was disrespectful. Then I realized it was just two honest people presenting their own opinion. Both people were comfortable in their own skin. The president knew that he received the honest opinion of his vice president. What more could he ask? Does he want a brand noser, a brown noser, or what George Will calls a sycophant? No, the president wants an honest opinion. The president's comfortable in his own skin. He knows he's got the final decision. But he doesn't consider the vice president's comment disrespectful. Just the opposite. He considers the vice president's opinion respectful. And that's the point. In business, you want from your executives, you desire from your executives honest opinions. And very often you don't want those opinions couched in, well, it could be a great idea under the right circumstances, under the right context, but la-di-da, la-di-da. They want somebody to say, Mr. President, not a good idea. Don't do it. Now, the president makes his own decision. He takes advice from his advisors. That's why they call them advisors. That's why they call the president a line operating person in an organizational chart. And the advisors are staff. They don't make decisions. They give advice. The executive makes a decision. Now, what does this all mean in terms of today? That's why the press will never understand President Truman. President Trump. Why they'll never understand why Trump can say, I think Tillerson's wasting his time. North Korea will never agree to some sort of negotiating talk. And Tillerson can say, I'm going to keep negotiating until the first bomb drops. That's the way it works in business. I've hired vice presidents of marketing and vice presidents of engineering, and sometimes I don't agree with what they're doing, and I'll tell them, I don't agree with what you're doing. But by the way, I hired you to make that decision. You make the decision. You live with it. You stand behind it. I'll back you if you need backing, but fundamentally, you're in charge of engineering. Make the best decision you can, even if I disagree with you. And if I ask your advice on a subject and I don't take it, that doesn't mean I don't like you. That doesn't mean I might not even agree partially with your advice, but it means that I am the president. I am the executive. I have other information coming to me from other areas, and I'm making the decision. And just because I didn't take your advice doesn't mean you should quit. Doesn't mean I don't like you. Doesn't mean that you're on the outs with me. Doesn't mean I want your resignation. Just means in this particular case, I heard your advice. I didn't take it. I'm the president. I don't have to take your advice. The press will never get this because the press confuses, and the media in general, confuses process with results. Remember, their job as press is not to produce anything but ink. Maybe eyeballs if they're on TV. They don't have to produce anything. At the end of the day, they get paid as long as they generate the ink and don't say something that embarrasses their employer. But in business, it's different. You must produce something. You're manufacturing something. You need to sell something. Somebody has to buy it. You don't get to force people to buy it. You have to persuade people to buy it. People that are process-oriented are interested in the process. Now, I've worked in corporations where people are process-oriented. I worked with a person who he thought his job was done once he sent out an email that a problem was coming. What if nobody saw the email? Didn't make any difference. He was protected. He followed the process. He sent the email out. But the results-oriented person, he's different. He sends the email and he makes the phone call. He calls the person. Did you get my email? It's important. It's critical. He gives it a sense of urgency because he's results-oriented. He knows that the process of sending the email is only part of it. There's an old story that I will tell you here. It takes a minute or two, so stay with me. And I think I'm going to get this story about right. The story goes, Ross Perot was in the General Motors board meeting. And you may recall, and I believe I had this right, General Motors bought EDS. EDS was a Texas company that Ross Perot had founded. So Ross Perot was asked one time, why did the General Motors executives and the Ross Perot executives not get along? And Perot said, well, because all of our people are snake killers. So the General Motors executive kind of cocked his head and blinked his eyes and said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, he said, take this big General Motors company. He said, let's say a General Motors executive is walking down the hall and sees a snake. What's the first thing a General Motors executive does? Calls a meeting. We have a snake in the hallway. What shall we do? Shall we call the janitor? Shall we fire the janitor because we have a snake in the hallway? But we need to have a meeting about this snake, and maybe there's more snakes. And what will we do if this snake bites somebody? And will it be covered by insurance? We need to get our lawyers involved in the meeting. And the guy goes on, and Ross Perot says, now let's take one of my Ross Perot executives. He walks down the hall. He sees a snake. What does he do? Kills the snake, then calls the meeting. He does the obvious, and that's kind of what I'm driving at. And there's historical situations that have been written about where AOL, not AOL, but when Time Warner bought, I don't know if it was AOL, one of the high-tech companies, they couldn't get along because AOL people would simply walk into a meeting, and if the meeting wasn't relevant, they'd leave. The Time Warner people used to process, meeting started at 11, ends at 12:30, stay for the whole meeting. AOL people thought, well, wait a minute, why should I waste my time? This meeting's not relevant to what I'm doing. I'm just going to leave. Time Warner executives thought that was rude. See, you got processing at results. This is the problem that the press has in analyzing anything that Trump does. They look at it from a process point of view, not a results point of view, not the way a business person looks at it. Trump believes that any disagreements he has with Tillerson, any difference of points of view, is common. He didn't hire Tillerson, believe it or not, to do exactly what Trump wanted him to do. He put him on the firing line and he expects him to make decisions that Tillerson thinks is correct. And it's not sending multiple messages, at least from a business perspective, that there's some difference of opinion between the president and the vice president, or the president and the secretary of state. Trump thinks these things are normal. The press and the media never get it. They jump all over anything that's a difference of opinion, that's a difference of semantics, because for the most part, the media have never actually been in a business. Yes, I understand the newspapers are a business, but the people that write for them are not in the business part of it. They're in the part of generating ink. The people back at the home office, they're trying to run a business. So there's these huge differences of thought patterns and backgrounds that prevent the press from ever understanding Trump. So whatever we see going on now with respect to the media criticizing Trump, it's not going to stop. It's going to go on for the next 3.5 years. Get used to it. But when you hear it the next time, think about, are they talking about the process? Are they talking about results? You can talk about the process all day long. But in business, it's results that count. And that's what Trump wants, results that count. Now, the Washington Post, by the way, this is kind of a sidebar, had a big article today, and it was entitled, North Korea Says a Nuclear War May Break Out Any Moment. I mean, this is a headline destined to try to get eyeballs, right? There's a big picture of an F-35 stealth fighter, not in North Korea, but in South Korea. And he goes on to talk about that North Korea's deputy UN ambassador warned Monday that the situation on the Korean Peninsula has reached the touch-and-go point and a nuclear war may break out any moment. Well, that's just a stupid thing to write. It's sillier even to say, we're not going to attack North Korea with a nuclear weapon. Anybody that thinks we're going to do that is just stupid. It isn't going to happen. Trump's not an idiot. Are they going to launch a nuclear weapon against us? No. They're not stupid. We may think they are, but they know for a fact that if they launch a nuclear weapon against us, they won't have any friends. China won't be their friend. Russia won't be their friend. Iran won't be their friend. Those friends, by the way, who will now become either neutral to their enemies, will be in favor of an attack by the United States of America or some other country. No, this whole talk about a nuclear war is just, it's a verbal battle. And North Korea goes on to kind of justify it. I mean, their point of view is that, well, you know, they're a sovereign nation. They need to protect themselves. And I agree with that. I agree they're a sovereign nation. I'm probably the only Republican that thinks that they have a right to develop their own weapons. I don't think we have some right to say you cannot develop weapons. I don't think we have a position of moral superiority. I clearly think we have a right to say, develop them all you want, but if you head them our direction, we're going to head a few back in your direction and it won't be a pretty ending for you. I think we have a right to say that. But I don't think we have any right to say, you don't have a right as a nation, as a sovereign nation, to protect your own people. And for whatever reason they think they have to do that, to me is almost immaterial. And if they rationalize they have to do it because Trump may come in and upset their regime, okay, that's fine if that works for their own politics. But the real issue is, are they going to launch a missile at us? Never. Oh, yes. Bob, you're risking being wrong. Yes, that's right, because never is a long time. But no nation wants to wipe themselves out. And you can escalate the threats all day long. Somebody has to launch first, and they're not going to do it, and we're not going to do it. Now, Tillerson said that diplomatic efforts aimed at resolving the North Korean crisis will continue until the first bomb drops. And people think, well, that's different than what Trump said, where he said that, gee, Tillerson is wasting his time. Trump may believe that. Tillerson may even believe it. That doesn't mean he's not going to keep trying, because why? Because that's his job. That's what Trump hired him to do, to keep the diplomatic efforts going. That's what he hired him to do. That's what he's going to do. And Trump's not telling him to stop. He's just saying, I think it's a waste of time. And Trump may believe that, but Tillerson is his own person. He can make his own decisions. That's the kind of people Trump wants around him. But the press doesn't get that. They jump on all over the issues that Tillerson and Trump don't agree. No, they do agree. And we could go on and on about North Korea and the fact that North Korea says, oh my gosh, we have 5 million people that want to enlist in the army and fight the United States of America. That's just crap. Come on. I mean, who wants to go to war? Only those people that have never been to war. North Korea has been at war. They're not over there trying to get in another war. They got soccer moms just like we do. Do I have personal knowledge of this? No. Have I been in North Korea? No. But every time we have a war, and then we talk to the people after the war, we find out they have just as many soccer moms as we do. They have just as many people that want to be left alone and do their job and go home and raise their kids and practice their religion and do their sports and eat their food just like we do. There's no differences. At the top, it's an ego battle. So that's kind of my only point for today. I hope you enjoyed the kind of the story about the apples and the oranges. I hope you think about the differences between process and results and why a business person in the White House has tremendous problems in understanding why our politicians are so process-oriented. And you and I both know the reason. They don't get paid to do anything. We all know that. If they get paid to do something, they'd be passing legislation. It's one of the few jobs in the world that has a great retirement, has wonderful benefits while you're a congressman or a senator, but you still have no performance. Worst case is you don't get elected again. But by the way, you can spend almost your whole two-year or four-year term trying to get elected because it's process-oriented, not results-oriented. If they got paid on legislation they passed, believe me, there'd be a lot of legislation passed fast, but it's not. It's all process and sound bites. You know it. I know it. And Trump knows it too. And he tries to be provocative to shake things up. But can he do it? I don't know. Because organizations, and the government is an organization, can get so big that they have a life of their own. No matter what kind of insulin or what kind of vitamin B12 you insert into the organization, it just goes on and on and on and on with its only goal, and that's the government's goal, the survival of the organization. The most fundamental of all survival instincts. Even the little bacteria, I understand it, have as a goal survival as opposed to getting something done. Okay, that's all on October the 17th. It may not be as exciting as I thought it was, but it's pretty much all I have to say today on those issues. We've already beaten up Larry Flint. We've already beaten up Harvey Weinstein enough, so I'm not going to even revisit those things. Maybe we'll see some things on taxes. We'll get a chance to talk intelligently about which way the taxes are going to go. And remember, the whole key thing on taxes and revenue producing and deficit reduction is GNP growth. Over 3%, the government makes money. Under 2%, we run a deficit. The key, get that GNP growth to 3% or 3.5%, and the government then starts taking in a lot more revenues and taxes than any economic model suggests, since most of the economic models assume a 2% or 2.2% growth rate. Plug in that 3.5% number and bingo, you've got a revenue positive situation. Email me your comments, and I've gotten a few lately. I'm going to have to devote a whole show to comments sometime, but email me at webtalkwithbob@gmail.com. I am a Heartland America conservative. I am a Trump supporter, but not because of Donald Trump, because I believe in the policies that he supports. October the 17th, 2017, signing off. Listen again tomorrow and spread the word if you think what I have to say is worth listening to. And I hope you agree that it is and pass my podcast around so we can develop real conversations by intelligent, rational people, even though we may disagree on things, about what needs to be done. Have a good evening. Listen again tomorrow. Web Talk with Bob, signing off.